You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, as part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever you get your podcast from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Happy to be here with you all on this Tuesday. Podcast back up first thing in the morning for y'all. We got a little bit to talk about. There's some breaking news in the NBA, a couple other things. So we're going to dive right into it today. First, the other day I asked for some mailbag questions to talk about here on the podcast since we've got kind of a slow week. The Pelicans don't play again until tomorrow evening, so got to fill the airtime somehow. So tweet me your questions. Let me know what you guys want answered. But there was a main topic that came up yesterday on Twitter, and that was mainly who should the Pelicans target, trade for, in particular, what kind of mold of a player. So I'm going to answer that question for you. The breaking news, of course, is the Memphis Grizzlies have fired their head coach, David Fizdale, after an 8-game skid. And of course, you can't get to double-digit losses in a row, which is what they were trending towards, and still keeping your coach. I'm going to play you a clip from the Locked On NBA podcast that talks a bit about it, talking about how untenable the situation was, as well as give you all my take on that. And then finally, I want to give you guys just an update on the Pelicans two-way players, how they're playing in the G League. I think they've been called up for the game tomorrow night where they will be available and practicing with the team, though likely not to play. But hey, they probably just get some practice time here at the facility, wanted these guys around. So I'll give you an update on how Jalen Jones and Charles Cook are doing with the Greensboro Swarm. So as I said in the opening, the number one question that basically got posed to me, so I'm just going to kind of do a catch-all here, was basically, one, will the Pelicans try and make a move? And then what type of guy should they target? I can tell you, of course they're going to try and make a move. They're in a bit of a precarious situation, however. Being near the luxury tax, being near the hard cap, they can't really add a lot of salary. And then if they do want to add some salary, you have to send salary out because the trades need and the salaries need to match. That's not an easy thing for the Pelicans to do when if they want to add, say, $13 million, you've got to look at moving a guy like Oshik, who just to offload a loan, you need to maybe attach a first-round pick to. And then you're going to maybe need to attach another one in to bring back whatever player it is. So all of a sudden, it's Oshik and two first-round picks for something else. So let's not worry about that, though. Let's just kind of look at this in a vacuum a little bit and talk about maybe what they need to try and bring in. And there's a couple different ways you can go about this and look at it, and a couple, I guess, different schools of thought almost on this topic. And one of them is you need another big. Clearly behind Davis and Cousins, there really isn't anyone. We've seen how poorly Dante Cunningham's played since moving to the bench in that backup big role. He hasn't played any better. And then you've got Cheick Diallo, who isn't really giving you much and isn't ready to quite be an NBA player just yet. So that's an issue right now for the team. The other idea is maybe you need some more wing depth. Right now it's Darius Miller and then maybe Etuan Moore, who's, you know, starting for the team at times. But again, also a problem. So it's a lot of issues here. I don't think the Pelicans need to target one specific side, and I'm going to tell you why, because frankly, you've got to just get talent on here and upgrade however you can. You can't just say, we want a big, we're only going to look at bigs, and then there's no bigs there and forego looking at another position. If it were up to me, I'd look for a guy who can rebound as well as shoot a little bit and maybe handle the ball a little bit. So maybe a stretch four, something like that, a big with some shooting ability who can handle and rebound. I'm not worried about passing. And the reason I say this is because you need someone to pair with DeMarcus Cousins. When you look at, and I touched on this yesterday, and we'll probably dive a little bit deeper when I can pull some of the numbers tomorrow. And, you know, when you look at lineups that have Davis and Cousins in there, they're good. When you look at lineups with just Davis, they're great. And then when you look at lineups with just Cousins, it's a net positive, but nowhere near as good as Davis in those same lineups. So you need to find a player that complements Boogie very well. You need a guy who can rebound because rebound really hurts when he's out there by himself. You need a guy who can shoot because you need to accurately space the court a little bit for him. And then you also need a guy who can maybe handle the rock, because when Cousins, and we've talked about the turnovers a bunch here, is trying to do too much, it's looked kind of bad, and that's where you're getting all of these turnovers that are really hampering the efficiency of this Pelicans team when he's out there running the court and running the offense. So that's the kind of player you need to target. Now, of course, looking for a guy who can shoot, handle the ball, and rebound, at least in little quantities, isn't an easy task, and these guys don't grow on trees. So basically, you're ruling out a guard and like a pure shooting guard, even though if a pure shooting guard was available, I think you maybe kind of, who's good at least, you maybe take a chance on it if that's the only guy you can get. But someone of the more higher height variety, I botched what I was trying to say there, but a player like that, I mean, Mirotić comes to mind. I don't know if he's really got the rebounding, but he stretches the court a little bit. But again, he's going to hurt you on the defensive side of the ball with that kind of situation. So I don't want to start talking about names just yet, because frankly, we don't know who's going to be available. We can talk about hypothetical names all day. I think they should trade for that guy, LeBron James. I hear he's pretty good. See, we don't need to go do that just yet. We'll get there as we get closer to the trade deadline eventually. So it's a player, again, I think the rebounding is really important. This team's been one of the better rebounding teams in the league so far, and I think they want to maintain that. And it's given them a bit of an edge, especially in this kind of small ball NBA. If you can grab boards and keep people off of the boards, it's definitely going to be a very good thing, at least defensively. So you end possessions that way. And with these two bigs, they certainly have been able to do that. And I think that's basically kind of how they're building this team. And they want to keep that going with the second unit or when the backups are in with Cousins. So that's certainly one thing you're trying to look. So basically, a guy who can shoot a little bit. I'm not asking for much. At least, like, you know, keep defenses honest slightly. Not even that honest. They can lie a little bit to you. Just don't be lying to us all the time kind of idea. Player like that, and he can rebound, I'd be happy. And then anything you do to kind of get the ball out of Boogie's hands and not let him be the playmaker, I think right now, and maybe he settles down and the coaches finally get through to him, certainly would be a good thing, though, in the meantime. So the big news in the NBA today is the dismissal of head coach David Fizdale in Memphis, and Peter Edmiston of Locked On Grizzlies discussed this with David Locke, host of the Locked On NBA podcast. I think it was yesterday or the day before, basically predicting that this is going to be happening. So I'm going to play this clip for you, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about this myself because I think it's a pretty interesting story.
Could this be the beginning of a road that leads to a Gasol trade and starts a full-out rebuild for the Memphis Grizzlies?
I always kind of thought after last year that it would be either Mark or Fizdale. You know, an 8-game losing streak could balloon to like something crazy if they don't get this fixed ASAP. And very few coaches can survive when things aren't going well and you reel off a, you know, a double-digit losing streak. So it may lead to a Gasol trade. It may lead to Fizdale being fired. I think it's a coin flip at this point, which one of those is more likely.
So on the surface, the firing of Memphis head coach David Fizdale might look a little bit surprising, but when you kind of really analyze this situation, I really don't think it is. And I think this was basically always going to be the outcome. And the question was, did they do it, you know, Monday, or did they maybe wait until the end of the week to make the change and to try and right their ship? Memphis right now sits at 12th in the Western Conference with a 7-12 record, and they've lost, I think it's now 8 straight in a row. So at one point they were 7-4. They've lost 8 straight and are now 7-12 and have completely fallen out of contention. I think they were like the second or third seed at one point, but it's a while back now and it's too early to really kind of talk about it like that, or at least when they were there. So, you know, when you look at this situation in this Memphis team, who's been kind of a force for a while, but is slowly fading from that grit and grind era of consistently losing in the second round of the playoffs. But hey, you're getting there, which is a pretty cool thing in the first place. Also, they rank 10th in attendance, which is pretty impressive for a small market team, though really there's not a whole lot else to do there. So, of course, what did you expect would be the case with that? But really, when you look at it, you know, this isn't surprising. When you look at the way their team's made up, their salaries on the team, and a situation like this, you've basically got Mike Conley, who's out right now, but he's making $28.5 million a season. You've got Chandler Parsons, who I think it was last offseason was signed to that big deal, was terrible last year. He's making $23 million this year. Then you got Marc Gasol at $22.5 million a year. You can't rebuild. That's the thing. And basically, if it comes down to the rift between head coach David Fizdale and Mark Gasol, which is what happened, Gasol, for those of you who don't know, was benched in the fourth quarter of the game, a game the other night. And then Fizdale said he had reasons why he benched him, but wasn't going to share that with the media. It's not going to go over well. Gasol then basically came out and said, like, look, I like playing. Playing's important to me. Playing time is a very big deal, which, you know, makes sense. They're players. They want to go out and play. This is what they do. I don't think there's that many players in the league who'd like to just kind of sit on their butts and collect $20 million. I think these guys have too much pride and ego and different things that they want to go out and do this. And, you know, so, you know, that's why. So when you bench a guy, that's a big deal, let alone maybe your best player, second best player, depending on how you feel about Conley. But I think everyone's going to say Gasol is better than that. So here's the situation. All of these guys are under long-term deals, meaning they're not, no one's an expiring here. If you trade Gasol, you're still basically capped out. You still got Chandler Parsons and Conley on the books. That's not an easy thing to then tank and lose games. And then just moving those guys still isn't going to be easy as well, because one, you need to trade them to probably good teams. Those guys don't have lots of first-round picks or good first-round picks. Then you're probably going to take long-term money back as well, which you would obviously try and like to avoid. That's a weird situation. So when it comes down to trading your star player versus the coach, when you can't trade the player and then suck and tank and rebuild, the coach is going to go. Basically, that's all there is to it, and I think that's kind of what it was in this case, let alone that Fizdale's a bit of a fiery personality, and when you're losing, it doesn't quite work. Players start tuning you out. And, you know, there have been rumors behind the scenes for years now that Memphis really isn't a well-run organization. They have ownership issues that are well-known around the league for a number of years now. The front office kind of goes one way, and their coaches go a different direction. We saw this a couple of years ago with David Yorger, who's now over there in Sacramento after he was run out of there while a winning coach, and I think coach of the year or something like that, and replaced with Fizdale. So this has happened before, and it makes you wonder how well-run they truly are. And the reason this doesn't get talked about, and I'm in a G-chat with a couple of people, and we were discussing this, is, you know, winning kind of fixes everything and cures all, and it maybe has masked a lot of the issues that Memphis has had behind the scenes for a while. So when you look at it, though, all of a sudden, this isn't nearly as surprising as maybe we would have thought on in the surface, but certainly a big story. And this has implications for the Pelicans. They're going to put whoever is in. I haven't seen who the interim head coach or anything like that is. And they're going to hope they get a response and try and get out of this tailspin. But frankly, I don't know. You still have Mike Conley out for a number of the games, but he's a notoriously fast healer. But I don't think, and I talked about it yesterday as we looked at this in the Western Conference standings and where the Pelicans, you know, kind of were in there, that they're really going to be able to get out of this. There's still a lot of talent. They maybe, if they respond well, can fight for that eighth seed, meaning there's maybe three teams fighting for the eighth seed as opposed to, say, like the four or five or six before. So it's certainly a good thing. But for the Pelicans, I think they still feel pretty good about their chances. I don't know if this changes too much, though. I think maybe on the small end, it does help them in some capacity. So before I talk about the Pelicans D-League players on two-way contracts and Jalen Jones and Charles Cook, don't forget, tune into the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. We're hitting kind of the stride in the season. Injuries come down. You need a quick waiver wire pickup to try and win your matchup. Over there, Josh Lloyd has all the info you need on what to do, so make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast. So before I end the podcast for the day, I want to give you guys an update on the Pelicans' two-way contract players, Jalen Jones and Charles Cook. They were called up the other day for the team, and it might be just be a one game or just a practice with a couple of days here in New Orleans. It gets them some, you know, kind of integral practice time with the parent club for maybe the future when these guys might get some play time. So they're down in Greensboro, the Greensboro Swarm, and over there they're playing pretty well. They've only played four games so far with the team. They're up there in minutes. They're starters for the team. So let's start with Charles Cook, who I think is actually maybe the less interesting of the two players. Cook's averaging 19 points exactly per game, along with, where is it, 6.8 rebounds, one assist. He's really a two guard, and he's kind of like a slashing score guy who can work off ball a little bit, but he's also kind of a slight volume shooter. What you like out of him as a guard, though, is he does get to the line. He's getting to the line in the G League 5.3 times per game, making four of them, so 76.2%. Not the best for a guard, but shows some promise as kind of that slash score, a guy who can maybe take over the second unit and lead it and get buckets when you need him to. He's not going to space the court, so you've got to wonder about a long-term fit maybe with this team who needs some three-point shooting, shooting under 29% from three, so obviously not too great from there. Though he's taken 3.5 attempts per game, but his 19 points coming on 3.5 shots per game, that shows you that he's getting to the line. I've watched a little bit of film on him recently, and just overall, you know, kind of is like maybe a poor man's Frank Jackson. This is really what they would like Frank Jackson to be, this kind of mold with maybe better shooting. So overall, defensively, he's okay. He's about average from what I've seen of him. He doesn't get beaten by too much. He doesn't have like elite speed to necessarily keep up with people, but at 6'5 with good strength, he does keep guys in front of him. Reminds you a little bit in that regard of Drew Holiday, though not getting the steals or some other things quite like that. He does okay in that regard. But overall, you got to be happy with his play, and hopefully we'll get to see him on the court for the Pelicans soon. But of course, they are calling him up to get some time. G League players on two-way contracts get 45 days with the NBA team before they need to be signed to an NBA contract. Also, one of the reasons why the Pelicans aren't necessarily rushing to make a move just yet when it comes to the trade deadline, you see, sign these guys to a contract because of an injury or something like that, that's going to count against the salary cap, the hard cap, all of that, which the Pelicans are right up against. So Jalen Jones is the other prospect I find a little bit more interesting here out of the two. And this is a guy who I really liked coming out of Summer League. I think everyone did. 6'7", plays a forward position. He's kind of a stretch four, stretch three. I don't really know what you kind of call him. He's kind of got that like tweener ability to him. But he's playing really well. This dude's averaging basically 25 points per game, grabbing 7.3 rebounds for the team, and he's getting to the free throw line a ton, which is what he did in preseason and what he did in summer league. He's getting to the line 9 times. Guy knows how to, he's not the tallest, but he knows how to use his body and his size to draw the foul and try and finish through contact if he can. Shooting from the field 50%. He's not shooting well from three, 19%, let's call it, let's round up. On four attempts per game. So he's making under one on four attempts per game. But that's one thing I remembered about him. Basically, this guy shot threes in summer league and then tried to score inside. No mid-range, wanted to get in there and either shoot a three or get a free throw. Basically a very efficient score if his shot's falling from three, but an efficient score inside. 25 points on 16.5 shots per game. Very good. This is a guy you've got to wonder, maybe he can play alongside Cousins. I'd like to see it at some point. He does have a, you know, kind of a good rebounding instinct, you know, to get out there and grab those boards. It's kind of like Kevin Love, he times them well a little bit. But man, if, you know, you got the Pelicans early on in the bonus, and we've seen a couple of times we're in the bonus with like 7 minutes left and a half, and they don't manage to capitalize and take advantage of this. Jalen Jones is out there on the court. Maybe he's not NBA ready yet, but you have to figure he'd be trying to get to the free throw line and taking advantage of that and score in a way that would really help this team and maybe kind of take advantage of the fact that he isn't the best player just yet. So you've got to really like, you know, potentially what he can give you. Defensively, he's not the best. He's probably a negative in that regard right now. But offensively, it might be enough to make up for it. So I'm really intrigued to see what he might be able to give the Pelicans later down the line, especially if they need some backup big help and they don't find anything on the open market. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, as well as giving it a rating on whatever format, however you get your podcast. But if you can do it on iTunes and leave us 5 stars along with a comment, that would be even better. And I would love you all tremendously for it. Game day tomorrow, we'll preview the matchup with the Timberwolves, talk about probably some of the other mailbag questions I've got in here. is providing me all this free content and I get to answer your questions. It's a win-win. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.